together tonight, and let me take your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 17. I'm real happy you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. Really good to see Brother Rodney Butler and his family. God bless you. We've been missing y'all. Glad you're here. Amen. Good to see you tonight. Amen. Always good to have Sister Rhonda with us. Amen. Lady, great faith. Amen. And if I ever get in trouble, I want her on my side. Praise the Lord. Because she stands up what's right. Good to see Sister Mary here tonight. Amen. God bless you. And Brother Wasser, all the way from West Virginia. The Mountain Mama. Amen. Now what's that guy's name? Denver. Used to sing about that. Amen. But glad to have you here tonight. God bless you. All of our friends, our church family. Amen. And I appreciate all of you tonight. Luke chapter 17, verse number 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, this foreigner." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to eventually get to this question. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The Bible says so much in such a little space. There's enough detail here tonight for us to really get a complete picture without being redundant. It just tells very starkly a story. Jesus was just a few months away now from Calvary. He's on the last legs of his journey. You can see the cross looming large in his future, calling him to Jerusalem. This is a miracle in the shadow of the cross. And the last journey to Jerusalem. And as he goes on his journey, the Bible said that at a certain village, there met him, I like this, the way the Bible says this, that there met him 10 men that were lepers. Now I want you to notice, the Lord identified them as men, not lepers. God does not identify you with your disease. He doesn't call you the leper. He knows you by your name. He doesn't identify you with your problem. He doesn't identify you by your problem. We do that. People do that. People label people. Oh, you know so-and-so, he's the drunk. Or so-and-so, he's the druggie. Or so-and-so, he's got this problem or that problem or this sickness or that sickness. We identify human beings as a disease or as an addiction. God never does that. He identifies you as a person. He knows you by name. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything there is to know about you. And he cares about you. And he loves you. Amen. So the first thing, Jesus identified them as men that were lepers. Now he did say they had a need, but he did not identify them with the need. He didn't call them by that. He saw them as more, much more. You know, I backslide sometimes, but I try not to identify. I don't want to claim any disease in my life. I hear people talking about, you know, my arthritis. Well, I don't want to claim arthritis. I may fight it tooth and toenail, but you know what? I don't want to claim it. I don't want to say it's my asthma. No, I don't want to claim it. I struggle with it, but I'm not going to claim that stuff. I'm not going to identify myself as a disease. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Amen. I'm going to fight disease, but I'm not going to identify with one. I'm not going to claim it and call it mine. It's not welcome in my body. If I've got it, I'm going to fight everything I know how to get rid of it. Amen. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Is that all right? I think it'd help, you know, if we could make ourselves cognizant and try to do that. Amen. Quit claiming your disease. Quit calling it yours. Some kind of a badge of honor. Oh, no, it's a disease. Fight it. Amen. Pray against it. Do everything you can to get rid of it. So Jesus identified them first of all as men that were lepers. The next thing that we know about them is, as usual, it says they stood afar off. Now, that was according to law. They were not allowed to get close to Jesus. They had to stand afar off. As a matter of fact, according to the law of Israel, when a leper saw somebody coming, before they got very close, about 50 yards or more, they had to start calling out, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean! You can't get close to me!" So they began to call out to him afar off. And the beautiful thing is even though they had their leprosy, the Bible says that they lifted up their voices and they recognized him. Hallelujah. And they said, "Jesus, Master." Hallelujah. "Have mercy on us." Praise the Lord. When you call on him, and you call his name, and you call him Master, and you make him Master, something good's going to come into your life. Amen. They began to call out on the Lord, and then the Bible said that when he saw them, listen, he said, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." Now that was according to the scriptures. That's what they were supposed to do. Jesus stayed in the book. Jesus stayed in the Word of God. Jesus did according to what the Bible said. Amen. He didn't have to get outside the book to work. Anybody that wants to get outside the book to do miracles or to work in your life, you need to say, "No, thank you. I'm going to just go on down the road here." Yeah. Amen. Somebody says, "Well, we need the Bible and something else." No, you don't. You just need the Bible. Amen. We use the Bible, but we also got this little book of incantations over here that's magic. You don't need the magic, you just need the Bible. Jesus stayed in the book. Jesus stayed in the Bible. It was enough. It was enough for him. It's enough for us. And so Jesus told them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now what that meant was they were to take sacrifices to the priest. And here's the thing about the miracles of Jesus, is they stand the test. That's what he was really saying. He said, I'm going to heal you, and when you get to the priest, you're going to know you're healed, because it's going to reveal it.
They were to take a turtle dove, two turtle doves actually, and they were to take a branch of hyssop. And when they got to the priest and they said, we were lepers, but now we have been cleansed, the priest would take those doves and he would take one of them and he would head off and drain the blood into a basin over running water. And then he would take hyssop and he would dip it in a hyssop branch and he would plunge it into the blood and he would sprinkle the other bird, the living bird. And then he would sprinkle blood on him. And he would inspect the skin of the leper to see if there was any sign of leprosy. And if there was no sign of leprosy and he was declared to be clean, he would take that living bird that was scarlet with the blood of its companion and he would toss him into the heavens. And that bird would fly out as a testimony that somebody had been healed of leprosy. And he became a herald of a miracle wrought by the hand of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know what? If you lived in Israel in those days and you saw a blood-sprinkled dove, you know what it told you? It said a leper has been healed. Hallelujah. A leper has been cleansed. Amen. People could look up in the sky and I got a feeling they saw plenty of them. Hallelujah. Because Jesus was in the leper cleansing business and today he's in the sin cleansing business. Hallelujah. It was a testimony of the healing authority and power of Jesus Christ. He said, go show yourself to the priest so that he could declare them clean and then they could return home to their families and return home to their work and they could go about their lives. Amen. With no stigma because they had been declared clean. So, the Bible said that, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. It didn't happen instantly. Some miracles are instant and others are not. God sometimes does things so fast it's just instant. Other times it takes a period of time for it to happen. In this case, the healing was actually in the journey. The Bible said as they went, they kept looking. And all of a sudden, these spots started disappearing. Well, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be neat? Somebody said, hey, look at there. Amen. You're all clearing up there, brother. My goodness, look at that. How about me? I can't see. Am I clicking and cleared up here? Amen. Looks like that ear's growing back. And they just started identifying and watching this cleansing process go on. And they got all excited because as they journeyed, and you can get assured that the more they saw, the quicker they walked. They got to think, man, this is amazing. But you know, the Bible said that one of them stopped. And he said, I got to go back. What are you going back for? I've got to give thanks. That brings me to my thought tonight. Where are the nine? The Bible said that man went back and it said he was a Samaritan. Isn't that interesting? Jews didn't have anything to do with Samaritans, but you get bad enough off, you'll fellowship with anybody. You know, when the flood comes in and it washes a bunch of animals up on some high ground, they'll get along as the flood's there. They won't fight because they realize we got to share this. This is all there is. Until the flood goes down, we're going to have a truce. Nobody's eating anybody here. Now, whenever the flood's down and the water's abated, then all bets are off. But right now, we got to get along. Amen. Trouble can do that for you. People that you wouldn't associate with normally, you will associate with when you get bad enough off. You get in enough trouble. You get low enough. That's what happened. But this man was a Samaritan. And the Bible said he returned to Jesus. And I love that verse. The Bible said that he started crying out with a loud voice. He wasn't whispering. He was saying, thank you, Jesus. I appreciate. Thank you for cleansing me. You've given me a new life. I can go back to my home. I can go back to my family. I can get back to my job. I can get on with living. I can be a daddy again. I can be a husband again. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. And he fell down on his face. And he just kept on giving thanks. And in the middle of it, Jesus asked the question. He said, where are the nine? And that's what bothers me tonight. Athens, Texas, this church, should have a building at least three times this size. And that ought to be packed out every service. And I'm just talking about what the Lord has done. I'm not talking about what He's going to do. I'm talking about what He's already done. Where are the nine? These are the things that bother me. People come in and they're desperate. And they come in and they say things like, oh, when we came in here, preacher, I never felt anything like this in my life. The hair on my head stood up when I come in this place. I felt the power of God in this place. But I felt something I've never felt when I come into this place. And they come and God helps them and they get a blessing. And oftentimes God fills them with the Holy Ghost. And they get baptized in His name. And they get lost. Where are the nine tonight? There are people in Athens, Texas that God brought them up off of deathbeds. They were dying. And God healed them. And raised them off of their bed of affliction and restored their health and gave them back their lives. Where are they tonight? There are people that God put their marriage together. Everything was on the rocks. Life was falling absolutely apart. And they came to the Lord, and He so miraculously and so beautifully put everything back together again. And they said, oh, this is so wonderful. And then, where are they tonight? Where are the nine? I'm saying to you tonight, that bothered Jesus. Did it not? It moved Him to ask the question, weren't there 10 of you? Where's the nine? He was thankful. As a matter of fact, I don't know what was different about this man, but I just simply know this. The Bible said that the Lord spoke to him and He said, arise. He said, your faith has made you whole. I don't know what that means. I know what I think that means. I think that means that he was completely restored. I think that means, you know, leprosy affects the body, and literally fingers and toes can fall off and ears can fall off and the nose can be eaten away. Advanced stages of leprosy literally remove parts of your physical body. It literally eats into your flesh and destroys you. I got a feeling that he had some stuff missing. And the Lord said, you're made whole. Hallelujah. And when he said that, the things that were missing were restored. I want you to know tonight, God is not in the band-aid business. Lord is not in the first aid business. When you come to Jesus, He doesn't put a band-aid on you. He doesn't put you in some kind of a rehabilitatory situation. He doesn't put you in a situation that calls for a whole lot of outside things. But the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away, and all Jesus doesn't just slap a band-aid on your wound. He makes it new. This man left whole. Hallelujah. But where are the nine? Amen. You know what I've been praying lately? God, where's the nine? Bring them home, Lord. Bring them home, Lord. Bring them home, Lord. Make them so miserable. Amen. Let conviction dwell in their house. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost deal with them tonight. Open their eyes so that they can see that what they think is pleasure is not pleasure but misery. Amen. What they think is not freedom but bondage. Help them to realize where they are. Help them to realize what's going on. Help them to realize that they need to get back home tonight. Let me tell you what a prodigal needs. A prodigal needs a prayer ministry. Is it Luke 16 that tells the story of the lost things? In that parable, Jesus gives three parables. He talks about the lost coin. He talks about the lost sheep. And he talks about the lost son. They were all lost. But they needed a different ministry. The coin was lost. It didn't know it was lost. It needed somebody to teach it a Bible study so that it could know that it was lost and know how to be found. We've got some lost coins in the city of Athens tonight. We've got people that are lost and don't even know it. They need somebody to come with the word of the Lord and show them where they are so they can know how to get home. Amen. So we need a Bible study ministry. Anybody want to teach Bible studies here tonight? Anybody ready to teach some Bible studies? Amen. Praise the Lord. Has she got any left, Sister Nancy? All right, she's got some. Amen. We need to get, and when we get those, we'll order some more. Amen. I know exactly where we can get them. Lots of them. Bukus and bunches. All we need. Amen. We don't lack Bible studies. We lack teachers. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, I don't know if I could teach a Bible study. Can you read? And if you can't read, can you at least hand them a book? It's really pretty much that simple. Amen. If you can just hands and they can read, that's pretty much what it takes. Amen. So we need some Bible studies going on. That's how we're going to get some of the nine home. Praise the Lord. Some folks left before they ever got a good foundation. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the lost sheep was a different lostness. The lost sheep was lost. And he knew he was lost. He just didn't know how to get home. Isn't that what lost? Have you ever lost anything? Somebody said, well, where'd you lose it? Obviously, if I knew that, it wouldn't be lost. Lost, by definition, means you don't know where it is. And then the sheep was lost. He knew he was lost, but he didn't know how to get home. Some of the nine don't know how to get home tonight. Amen. They're lost, but they don't know how to get back. They need somebody to knock on their door. They need somebody to go to them and love them and share the love of God with them and share hope with them and share the peace of God with them and say, come on, brother. Come on, sister. I know the way. I can get you back to the Father's house. I can get you back to the altar. I can get you back to the church house. I know where it is. And they're waiting for you to come home. Praise the Lord. And when they get here, you know what they need to see? They need to see smiles. They need folks sticking their hand out saying, so glad you're home. Man, we've been missing you around here. We're so glad you've come back. They ought to leave here with a sore arm. Amen. From everybody greeting them and loving them. Is this all right? Amen. I'm talking about getting the 9 to come home. Amen. Anybody acquainted with the devil? You know he's a liar, right?
Amen.
Let me tell you how to know when the devil's lying. Watch his lips, and if they move, he's lying. The Bible said the truth is not in him. It's impossible for him to tell the truth. There's not any in him.
Amen.
And you know what the devil says? He says, those people don't care about you. Those people don't care about you. We got to prove him wrong. That's how you get the lost sheep, is you go find them. And what the Bible said, the good shepherd left the 99 in the safety, and he went looking for that one that was lost. Because he understood how valuable he was. And he searched until he found him. And the Bible said he came back rejoicing. If you're feeling grumpy, I'm not saying anybody here does, but if you're feeling grumpy, let me tell you how to get over the grumps. Win a soul. Are you feeling jealous? Let me tell you, get over jealousy. Win a soul. Are you feeling down and discouraged and unloved and unwanted? Let me tell you how to get over that. Win a soul. How many of you parents tonight remember that when you brought that baby home, things changed at your house? Anybody remember that? Things changed. Everything changed. Before, you got a few extra dollars and you were thinking about shoes, or you were thinking about a new coat, or you were thinking about a new toy. You were thinking about something, but when that baby got there, you were thinking about milk, and you were thinking about bottles, and you were thinking about formula, and you were thinking about diapers. Your whole world changed. Amen. You know what happens to churches if they don't have any kids coming in? Amen. They get to looking at one another and criticizing one another. And they can't get along with one another because everybody is self-centered and everybody's got ingrown-itis, eyeball-itis. You know what that is? That's ingrown eyeballs. All you can see is yourself. We need to get rid of ingrown-itis, eyeball-itis. We need to get out there and get our mind on somebody else. But if you'll go win you some babies and you'll get some new Converse, it'll change your perspective. You'll not be thinking about yourself, but you'll be thinking about them. How are they doing today? And if they miss a service, it disturbs you. And you want to get on the telephone and say, where have you been? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how you bring the 9 home again. And then there's some lost sons. And there's some lost daughters out there. And some of them, you've already talked to them. Matter of fact, you've talked so much that when they see you coming, they'll switch and go to another aisle. Anybody ever had that happen? You call and they get the telephone, they see your name, they say, goes the voicemail. Yeah. You know why that is? Because they're lost, and they know they're lost, and they know how to come home. They know where the Father's house is, and they know how to get here. You know what they need? They don't need anybody preaching to them. They don't need anybody tell them how bad they are. They don't need anybody tell them, you know, you know better than that. They, you're right, they do. And they really don't want to hear you say it. They really don't need to hear you say it because they already know. You know what they need? They need somebody that'll get their head down in this carpet. And they'll weep wet tears until this floor's wet, crying out to heaven, God, save them. Lord, open their eyes. Help them to see. Did you know that works? I had a friend that was playing. He played with some of the real big names in country music. I mean, he was up there. He was a tremendous, tremendous musician. He was way up in Canada playing in some ballroom up there. Hey, man, probably about a New Year's service or New Year's whatever they call them, dance or what's going on. I don't know. But he was up there playing his guitar and his banjo. He's a tremendous musician. He was up there playing. You know, he had a little sister down in Houston, Texas that was praying for him. And she was calling his name. God save Stan. Stan said he was up there playing his instrument, and it was all of a sudden, it's like scales fell off of his eyes. And he looked out across that audience, and all he could see was the sin and the filth, all that was going on. He went over, he put his instrument in the case, he walked off of the stage, and he went and got him a taxi. He went to the airport. He bought a ticket to Houston, Texas. He walked into Irvington Pentecostal Church on a Sunday morning. Yeah, man. He sat in his first Pentecostal service. That morning when the service was over, he went down and he told the pastor, he said, I'm ready to be baptized. He said, when? He said, right now. Amen. He was baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all because he had a little old sister that found a place and buried her head down in the carpet and prayed until heaven moved. Amen. Until he was saved. Amen. I'm talking about how to get the nine back home. This is what it's going to take, folks. This is what it's going to take. And this is the year. 2013. Amen. By the time 2014 gets here, this thing shouldn't even hold the people. We may have three services at one time around here. Amen. We may have to knock some walls out before we can get another one built. We may have to say, well, we'll just go over there because we got more room. I don't know what we'll do, but I don't care. We'll do it. Whatever it takes, we'll get it done. Anybody believe that could happen here tonight? I'm telling you, if we can get the nine home, if we can get the nine home, it could happen before next Sunday. Hello? Amen. You know what I'm talking about, some of you that's been around here a few years. You know what I'm saying. You get to doing some door knocking in this city, and if people will be honest with you when you knock on the door, they say, oh yeah, I know where that church is. I used to go there. They're one of the nine. I got the Holy Ghost in that church. They're one of the nine. I was baptized in that church. They're one of the nine. I got healed in that church. They're one of the nine. And they're all over this city. Amen. One of the greatest revivals we can have is just to pray till the nine get home. Where are the other nine? They've had an experience with God. They had an experience with God. They had an experience with God. They had a miracle from God. They've got something to be thankful for. They've already got a connection. Amen. Where are the nine? Anybody know some of the nine tonight? I ask you to close your eyes right now. Can anybody see a face? Anybody got a name in your mind tonight? Amen. Would you just lay hold of that right now and say, Lord, I want you to bring them home. Hallelujah. They're not here tonight. They're somewhere else. I don't know where they are. Some of them have been gone a while, but it's time to come home. We used to sing an old song that said, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me.
And may I ever do my part to bring that soul to Thee. Amen. It's gonna take something from all of us here tonight. We know where the nine are. We know where some of them are tonight. We know where many of them are tonight. We got to pray them home. Anybody ready to get on board here tonight? Hallelujah. Anybody ready to get some Bible studies in your hand? Hallelujah. Anybody ready to start a prayer ministry? An intercession ministry? Amen. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Grissom, I don't get around as good as I used to." Do you have a voice? Can you still pray? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can sit in your rocking chair or your recliner, amen, that's okay. You don't have to kneel to pray. You can stand and pray. You can lay in a bed and pray. You can lay on the floor and pray. You can sit in a recliner and pray. It's not important where you're sitting or what you're doing. What's important is that you're praying. Amen. There's everybody here tonight. We can get involved in finding the nine and getting them home. Stand with me tonight. Thank you for your attention here. Amen. I feel the will of God in this house tonight. I feel the will of God. This is what the Lord wants from Athens United Pentecostal Church tonight. Somebody said, "I've been praying for the will of God, Brother Grissom. I just preached it to you. I just preached it to you. This is the will of God. Saving the lost is always God's first priority." Let me say that again. Saving the lost is always God's first priority. I remember service, and I'm not criticizing tonight, I just want to make a point. I remember a service where a man was baptized here in Jesus' name. He was lame. I don't know what his problem was, but he couldn't walk. We got him out of the baptistry and got him back in his wheelchair and rolled him out. People got to praying with him. Somebody stood him up. A couple of people on each side got him up on his feet. Amen. We started around the church. Amen. Kind of dragging him, praying for him. Everybody was excited. Amen. Wanting God to heal his body. But you know what always struck me odd about that? Is we didn't pause very long to give thanks to God that right there in that water, every sin he'd ever committed was washed away. We rushed from the greatest miracle that happened to a human being. The greatest miracle. And we wanted to see a lesser miracle. And we were all excited about a healing. When God was excited about a salvation. Folks, we need to get all of our priorities straight. Yes, God wants to heal. God wants to heal cancers and heart problems and diabetes and every kind of disease. But you know what He wants to do first? He wants to save. If you got the Holy Ghost, you can have a heart attack and go to heaven. If you got cancer, you could still die and go to heaven. But it's okay if you're saved. We got to keep the first thing first here. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Amen. I hear people pray, "God, we need miracles." And usually what they mean when they say that is they want to see people that are sick healed. And I'm all for that. I'm all for blind eyes opening. I'm all for deaf ears being unstopped. I'm all for people getting out of wheelchairs. I've seen it.
I've seen it. Amen. I've been in the service in Columbia where the Holy Ghost got to moving and people would get out of wheelchairs and pass them up for the platform. I've been in a service where they'd come in walking on walkers and canes and the platform was literally just littered with all kinds of walking devices and people out there jumping up and down and shouting, talking in tongues. I've seen that.
Amen.
I've witnessed people that were blind, their eyes being healed, and deaf ears being unstopped. I've seen all that, and that's wonderful, and we want to see that. But more than anything, we need to get them saved first. Amen. We need to get them full of the Holy Ghost first. Amen. That's the most important thing. Let's keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen. Salvation is our greatest need. Isn't it? It's our greatest need. Amen. Anybody here tonight willing to commit yourself to ministry? Are you willing to ask the Lord tonight to take one of those nine and lay them upon your heart? And you'll fast if you possibly can. And you'll pray. Amen. And you'll call. And you'll visit. And you'll do whatever you can to get them home. Anybody willing to commit to that tonight? Amen. If you've got somebody right now that the Lord can put upon your heart, would you make your way to this altar? And would you lift up your hands and say, God, help me. I want to be a soul winner. 2013. 2012. I've got one day left. I can bring somebody tomorrow. Amen. We could start. It could start tonight. It could start again tomorrow. It's not over yet, folks. Amen. But you're just willing tonight to say, God, I want to be a part of ministering to the nine. Oh, you talk about a great revival tonight. If we could just get the nine to come home. A lot of those nine have families now. Some of them were single when they left, but they're married today. Some of them have children. Some of them have grandchildren. You see a field? Do you see a harvest? Do you see a revival tonight? My, what a revival God can give us. It's time to get involved. It's time to get involved. It's time to get involved. Amen. Let's make our way to an altar tonight. Praise God. Amen. Oh, you need to come tonight like that, like the tenth leper. You need to come giving thanks. You need to come praising. You need to come calling, God, I'm so grateful. Thank you for saving me. I didn't have leprosy, but I had something worse. I had something that was destroying me. I had something that was killing me. My life was full of sin. I was riddled with it. I was controlled by it. I couldn't get away from it. But you washed my sins all away. You gave me your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you tonight, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. Yes. That's it. That's it. Let's call on him tonight.
These are your hands, Lord.
Yeah, let's call on him tonight.
Use them as
your will. This faith
belongs to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, come home. Come home. Come home. Come home.
Use me, Lord. come home. Save, Lord. Save, Lord. Save, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, save, Lord. Jesus, you know where the nine are. You ask where are the nine, but you knew. And you know where they are tonight. You know exactly where they are tonight. God, please, please.